We turn tonight to Exodus 12 and also to John chapter 13. The words are on your screen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles if you would like. And we will read the two stories that speak of the first Passover as well as the second. Before we read God's word, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word and the customs and the people and the stories who have shaped us along the way. Thank you for their courage and their conviction, their faithfulness. Thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to proclaim your word and to live into it. Shine your light on our path this night. Help us, we pray, to embrace your faithfulness and your rescue, worked for Israel and worked for us. As we hear these stories tonight, move and stir us anew to new faithfulness, new love, new loyalty. And we pray that you would give us the conviction to allow you to do the rescue in our lives. So thank you for these stories, and thank you for what you have done on our behalf. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Exodus 12, 1 through 14, 24 through 30, and 40 through 42, and then we'll read John 13, 1 through 17, and 34 through 38. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." And then at verse 24, "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. And then beginning at verse 40. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. And then we go to the Second Testament, John 13. It was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. The pace on Maundy Thursday is slower. The texts allow us to absorb the weight of the story. They allow us and they invite us in. They allow us to consider what it must have been like for the first Israelites who waited a long time, who had years of unanswered prayers, who had doubts, who were probably filled with guilt and wondering. The Israelites must have been asking themselves, why is this happening to us? This has gone on for decades. It has gone on for centuries. And it seems as though God is silent. Why is this happening to us? These had to be the questions of the Israelites. It had to be the questions of those first disciples who were trying to piece together, what does all of this mean? When I was a little boy, I would ask my parents, what does Maundy Thursday mean? What is Maundy Thursday? As a little boy, it was always Monday Thursday. No, it's Maundy Thursday. And while my parents lived their faith passionately, they couldn't answer the question. Maundy is from the Latin word mandate, and it's grounded in John's story of the upper room, a new command I give you that is tied to the Passover celebration. The Passover celebration, where God's long 430-year silence was now being broken. The unanswered prayers were now being answered. And the miracle of the story is that God's people didn't have to do anything to bring about their rescue. It happened to them. Maybe they had been working at it. Maybe they had been trying to find a way to get from under the thumb of Pharaoh or the Pharaohs. But the Exodus Passover celebration reminded them that God is the one who is going to do the heavy lifting. God is going to do the hard work. And for God's people, their status was going to change. They were going to move from being slaves of Pharaoh to servants of Yahweh. What does that look like? This is to be for you the first day of the new year. You need to change your calendars. This is going to be a celebration where you eat and drink together. So make preparations. This is going to be an opportunity for you to practice neighborliness. You're going to look out for the people who don't have enough food to eat or who are widows and orphans. This is going to be for you an opportunity for you to tell the story, and not just tell the story, but tell the story and what it means to you. Not just what it means, but what it means to you. So that when your children ask you, you are ready to tell them the story of how Yahweh has come to your rescue in your time. So this was not just about what happened in Egypt, but it was an annual reminder for God's people to remember and retell every time they were tempted to think that it was all about them. It was a reminder that God's rescue and God's provision and the bedrock and the backbone of our faith is about what God does for us when we didn't expect it, when we didn't deserve it. So every time you do this, every time you break the bread, and every time you put blood on the doorpost, you are going to be reminded of the story of God moving you from slaves to new servants, so that you were reminded of your rescue. You were reminded of that long night, the night before it happened. And as a bonus in our text tonight, verses 40 through 42, we have that wonderful story about why Israel does this. And the reason why Israel does this is because God stayed up all night. God kept vigil. God stayed up through the watches of the night, eager, anxious, excited, guarding them, protecting them, watching over them, ensuring that they were kept well. If you've ever had children or grandchildren, you can open the door at night and make sure that they're breathing, that they're sleeping well, that everything is okay. If you have family members with a health condition, you do this. You check to make sure he or she is doing okay through the watches of the night. This is the image that the text gives us. Every night with my own grown-up children, I find myself opening the door to make sure that they are still okay, that they're still breathing, guarding, watching over, protecting them. I'll even say to my oldest kids who are going to get married soon, how's this going to work after you're married? Am I going to come over to your house and check on you every night? Because there are these instincts to guard and protect and watch over. This week, I paid a home visit on a couple, and both were dealing with medical issues, and they talked about what it was like to check in on their loved one during the night. That love, that desire to guard, to watch over, to keep, to protect, to keep vigil, when we love, is instinctive to us. And I think the psalmist of Psalm 121 knows all about that when the psalmist says, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, but he will keep you. You're going out and you're coming in both now and forevermore. Because the psalmist knows that the night before the big rescue operation, God stayed up all through the night watching, guarding, protecting the night before. I think it's no accident that the Gospels record Jesus celebrating a Passover with his disciples the night before the big event. The night before, he recognizes that he is the Passover lamb. He is the one that is going to be slain. There's going to be blood on the doorposts, and every person will see that God is a God who goes through the watches of the night, who stays up all night, who carries the burden of rescue so that we don't have to. Like the Passover, it was the night before when they broke bread and gave thanks and they remembered and they told the stories of God's rescue. And ever since then, the church has been gathering in the new Passover to recognize that in Christ, our Passover lamb, something has changed our identity forever. And what has changed is the new commandment that I give you, not just to do this, but a Messiah, a lamb who strips down and who gets on his knees and he washes like a slave. Do you understand what I have done for you? This is what you need to do for one another. This is how you are to live your Exodus faith. The new commandment I give you is that you are to love one another. By this, the world will know who you are as a people who have been passed over, who have been rescued, who have experienced a second Exodus because you have seen me. You won't understand it now, but later you will understand. Because we have a God who stays up all through the night. The night before the rescue operation. This is the way the God of Israel has always worked. He does not slumber or sleep, but he will keep you now and forevermore. This is what he said from the very beginning. So that when your children ask you, when your grandchildren ask you, what does this mean to you? We don't just tell the story, but we tell the story as it has been lived into our own lives, as it has found us, as God's rescue has come to us through the watches of the night. We who wake up in the middle of the night not sure why find ourselves already noticing that God is awake, watching over us, holding and keeping us. And the new commandment that he gives is that we live into and lean into what Jesus has shown us, washing feet, offering himself, showing self-giving, selfless love, praying for enemies, blessing those who curse. This is the new identity of the people of God who have been brought out of captivity into a new kind of freedom. The new command he gives is that we love one another, because we've seen how wide his arms open for all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we gather, O God, on this night before, keep us mindful that you keep watch through the night. You will not let our feet stumble. You neither slumber nor sleep, but you keep us. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness, and for the lengths you have gone to show us that great love. Help us, we pray, to love one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.